Hey, welcome to Going Rogue, the podcast for clear-eyed rebels and utopia preppers. I'm here with the rogue journalist, Caitlin Johnston. I'm Caitlin's worst half, Tim Foley. How you feeling, Caitlin? You feeling better?
I am, thanks, Tim.
We had a few days off because Caitlin wasn't feeling that great.
Yeah, I had a sore tummy.
Yeah, we're all better now.
Yeah.
Able to give you guys the high energy going rogue that you have become used to over the last 9 episodes.
Yes. Yeah, well, didn't want to disappoint.
We're really gonna try and keep this to a daily thing, except when we need to call in sick.
Yeah,
which will happen sometimes.
Well, we're not actual slaves.
That's true. It is a free podcast. Get over yourselves.
No, but also, like, you know, we're going to be socialists. We should also say, yeah, we got some time off and, like, what is, you know, days in lieu and all those wonderful things that when you're in a union you get.
So we're going to try and do we're just going to do a catch-up episode. We're going to go through, I think we got four articles since our last podcast. So we're just going to go through them one by one.
Yeah.
The first article you wrote a few days ago is titled, Dear MAGA Friends, It's Time to Push Back on the President's Syria Policy.
Wow, that seems like so long ago now, but yes.
It was 4 days ago.
I know, but the news changed so fast. Yeah. But anyway, but I still think it's, you know, it's like it really is time to push back on President Trump's Syria policy, especially seeing as MAGA people voted him in, you know, on his non-interventionist, let's bring the troops home, let's bring the money home, let's make America great again policy, only to find that, especially lately, he's really, revealing his neocon tendencies, or at least the neocon tendencies of the people that he hired.
Yeah, and is surrounding himself with. And Syria, particularly, is a country that the MAGA crowd, the Trump's base, really cares about. Like, they're a lot more okay with doing stupid shit with North Korea or Iran.
Right.
But with Syria, they have a long-standing, no, get the fuck out, don't have anything to do with it.
Yeah, because of Obama's legacy, I guess. You know, and because it was such, also, it's just such a plainly revolting war where the U.S.
Evil.
Evil war where the U.S. have done nothing but diddle both sides illegally in many cases and have done nothing but exacerbate a situation way beyond, you know, it's just become a horror story. And then
killing half a million people.
Yeah. For what? To actually end up saying, okay, well, you know, well, you know, in the end, it just created more terrorist factions. They were funding terrorist factions. There was weapons going there. And
from, like, both the CIA and the Pentagon, which is bizarre.
Which is bizarre. And the sanctions meant that there was not any money going, any relief money going there because there were sanctions on Syria. So this, but people were good-heartedly giving money to charities, etc., and that money was ending up in the hands of the terrorist factions.
Oh, because it would get filtered through, like, those NGOs and stuff that Vanessa Bealey's always talking about,
right? So it was just a fucking clusterfuck of nastiness. And, so the MAGA people know this, and they have been very anti-intervention in Syria. And so I just wanted to remind them about that because
yeah, because we talked about this in the last episode, I believe.
Which was like forever ago. So who knows?
Many years ago. Rex Tillerson gave a talk and basically said, "Yeah, well, the plan is we're going to keep thousands of troops in Syria, and in order to hold the areas that we recaptured from ISIS in order to keep the government of Syria from recapturing them."
Right.
And ultimately oust Assad, right?
Yeah, that's the idea. So they're gunning for regime change. And that never goes well. Not good at nation building. Ever.
Ever.
Does it ever go well?
Never. So,
yeah.
Never goes well. You tweeted a little while ago something like, how to make sure you're always on the right side of history.
Yeah.
Find out what the neocons are saying and do the opposite. Yeah. Push for the opposite.
Because they're so, I'm reluctant to use the word stupid because it makes them sound like they're not smart. They are very smart.
Yeah, they're not bumbling through this.
No, they're not bumbling through this. But their vision for the world is so disgusting. So revolting. They are such repulsive people, you know, and if we could see them in, you know, what their plan is for humankind, if we could see that outlined, if they could give us the blueprints of that, people would be vomiting, in disgust at the sorts of things that they want us to do and how they plan. And these are the guys who are, like, increasingly more and more in power, not just the US, but of the world.
It's the definition of sociopathy, right? Like the idea that America needs to stay on top no matter what. Meaning like a sociopath gets to the top of a company or politics or whatever he sets himself to because a sociopath can do whatever it takes.
Right.
That is willing to step on anyone and do anything.
Right.
And that's exactly what neoconservatism is. Whatever it takes to keep the rest of the world beholden to U.S. interests.
That's a very interesting insight. I've not seen it like that,
but it
is.
Popped into my head just now.
Well, yeah, that's true. It's kind of like the sociopathy, the united sociopathy of the sociopaths. You know, we know what to do here. Look, we've got this. Don't worry, fam. We've got this. We just do the sociopathy thing. Like, you just do whatever it takes and kill as many people. It doesn't matter. You know, don't feel empathy for them. Don't actually, you know, don't let your humanity get a grip upon you. And, so this is where we're headed increasingly. Not just the Americans, but as a species, and it has to be stopped. And so I was reaching out to the MAGA crowd because Trump does listen to his base, and they are his base, and they do know all of these things. And there's always this kind of – it kind of relates to the article after that, that there's there was a point in the Obama administration when everyone's – like desire for hope and change started to fall away and the scales fell from their eyes. And there was this kind of sense that, oh shit, maybe we're being played.
Mm.
And, you know, I have been optimistic about Trump before. Like, it's not like I was sitting there thinking, oh, I hope he fails. Of course, right. I don't hope he fails. Like I wished him the best, and I didn't want to like get in the way of that if that was what was going to happen, like certain other people, you know.
Right.
I'm not so self-defeating that I wouldn't support someone whose endeavors were in my interest.
If he'd ended up being actually anti-establishment and actually anti-interventionist, that would have been really cool.
Yeah.
If he was those things,
but he's not.
No, he's just another Obama who was another Bush. So yeah, so you have so Syria, they're planning to just never stay and basically hold the country hostage with the U.S. military until a suitable Washington puppet is installed.
Yeah, it's a kind of extortion scheme where we just, you know, the Syrians will, we're just gonna stay here until you vote the right way.
Right. Yeah.
And that will not be Assad, no matter what you think. So, yeah, so then that kind of led into the next article.
Which is why I am absolutely certain that Trump is not playing 3D chess.
Right.
Why are you absolutely certain that Trump is not playing 3D chess?
Well, according to myself, well, you know, there's this awesome little bit of footage of Cenk. I don't know how it's
– Cenk, I think.
No, it's Cenk. It's definitely Cenk. Cenk
with
yes.
a J?
That's true.
What the fuck?
Yeah, I know. But then I –
What an asshole.
I kind of like vagued on how to pronounce his second name.
Uger.
It is Uger, isn't it? Cenk Uger. Saying – and this is in the kind of like – in 2010, so about where we are probably are now, you know, so a year and a bit after Obama, like, that marvelous night in 2008 when
hope and change and hopey changey change. I wanted to go out and like hug the first black person I saw. Like, yeah, we did it. But I didn't, because that would have been an asshole douchey thing to do. But like,
but the I wanted to. I was so happy.
I was so happy. Like, yeah. And I was totally jaded about politics even back then. But even then, I was still like, yeah.
Well, the world joined you in that. There was a real feeling from everyone. Like, oh, thank God. Like, here we go, because it's been so insane. Finally, maybe we've got a guy who can bring some sanity back into U.S. politics, U.S. foreign policy, the world in general.
Oh, because W was just grinding us down. It was just, oh, God, oh, fuck, no, And by the end of it, we were just like, yeah, it's just it's whatever, fucking collapse the economy, I don't care. and then this guy came in, and he was like
a beautiful looking man.
Yeah, with a beautiful family. And
yeah, and just his amazing way of like galvanizing, you know, a whole audience.
Oh my God, I so wanted him to be good. I so wanted him to do good. I really, really, really did. I gave him way more benefit of the doubt than I would have given most people.
Yeah.
But yeah, that turned out to be bullshit. He was just another W. And Same thing we're seeing now.
Right, and Jinx said that it was about, he's like, oh, and here was the thing that got me. He said, they keep telling me he's a genius, and that he's playing 3D chess. Like, you know, you can't dispute what this guy is doing. It's all under the scene.
They said 3D chess. He said it in this clip. I found this clip, by the way. Folks, I'm very proud of this.
Yeah.
I want to take credit for this. I found this and I showed it to Caitlin, and that's in the article. That's a Tim Foley find right there. I'm gonna try and do a Jenk impression. Because remember what they told us. Obama's a genius. You can't possibly understand. Obama's playing 3D chess.
That was so good.
that's what he says in the video. I watched it a bunch of times.
But your whole face went like him.
Oh, shit, it sucks that this is an audio podcast.
Wow, dude.
Yeah, he's there with Glenn Greenwald, and on an NBC interview, because this is back when Cenk Uygur and Glenn Greenwald could be on NBC.
Were allowed to be. That was the other amazing thing totally, about that clip to me.
Just a different world. Yeah. And he's talking about the exact same thing. He's talking about how people who, like Obama apologists, have been saying, "Ah, no, all his establishment capitulations and his refusal to do the things that he campaigned on, that's just he's playing 3D chess." And you get the exact same thing from Trump supporters, except they're a little funnier, so they say, like, you know,
it's 52D chess.
Yeah.
It keeps getting the numbers get higher and higher.
Right.
Yeah, but like, yes. So the thing was, back then, people weren't taking any notice of Obama's actions. And in fact, Obama pretty much got a free pass from a lot of people for the full 8 years on his actual actions.
And still is getting a free pass.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and they took him by his words, which were mellifluous and like, now Trump, you could never say that the guy was charming you with his words.
Not quite the orator.
No, but he is definitely confusing things. Like I saw a clip just today of him speaking, and he says the craziest things. Like,
they don't even like when. Have you ever read it, when people type it out?
Yeah,
his spoken words, his transcripts are completely illegible.
Don't make any sense, do they?
It's just words, just a word salad.
Yeah, but like when you're watching him, you kind of get what he means, maybe, but you're probably just projecting meaning onto it. Like, who really knows?
Yeah, it's more like he has an intention that in his head. And he just sort of emotes in that direction.
It's like ink splats, you know? Like, what do you see in this ink splat? Yeah, I see someone giving someone head. Like, right. It just depends what you're thinking, I guess.
Right, yeah. That's probably it. That's probably, like, why the people who like him will say, oh, yeah, that was a great speech that he gave there.
Yeah.
He did really good. He totally owned those reporters.
Yeah. And then other people will hear it going, fascist, he's a Nazi.
Right. Like, Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I guess that's just where you're at. But anyway, so.
So Trump is making establishment capitulation after establishment capitulation.
With his actions. Yeah. His words might be saying differently. And definitely the words of his supporters is different. You know, it's 52 DHS. But yeah, if you watch what he's doing, it's just one thing after another. They're grinding him down. To the point where really, you know, the neocons and it's interesting as well to watch that the intelligence community is off his back now.
We haven't seen any, like, intelligence community leaks in
ages. Is that? Because he's doing what they want. Six ways from Sunday.
Oh, yeah, Chuck Schumer. Yeah. Chucky Schumer. Yeah, what did he say? He's like, yeah, so Trump is being really dumb because you cross the intelligence agency, they got six ways from Sunday at getting back at you.
You are just Mr. Impersonation today.
I don't know, I'm Richard Little today.
I liked your joke better, but that was pretty good.
I need practice.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, that wasn't a whole body experience there. For those listening at home, you kind of lean in, you didn't really look like him, not like the way you... The face. Anyway, so yeah.
He's being a good boy now. So we're not seeing any
the intelligence community come after him, and we're not seeing these, you know, giant kind of wedges coming in on. As well. So there's kind of some fluff, impeach Trump and blah, 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 blah. Really.
That's just coming from the Democrats now.
Yeah.
That's just normal partisan stuff. That's just normal stuff. That was what we were seeing from the Republicans thing. During Bill Clinton's thing.
Right. It's, yeah, that's just kind of, we're coming up to the
midterms.
So,
Right. Yeah. And that's all they're really hoping to get. It's just
a bit of bump in the polls. So there's no fire behind it. There's no real weird stuff happening anymore. I think he's been swallowed whole. I think that's it.
Yeah. What was that Julian Assange quote? Now we know how long it takes the military industrial complex to digest a president.
Yeah. Or something like that. I loved
that quote. Really good quote. All right, so then after you wrote that the 3D chess piece, you wrote Beware the Smiling Face of Establishment Politics, where you really let your poet go.
Well, I've been wanting to write this for ages because, well, firstly, I really wanted to use that still from the Black Hole, from Soundgarden film clip, Black Hole Sun, for this. I've wanted to use that for ages because that's... I think ever since the DNC convention, that's how I've perceived the smiley face of Democrat politics, you know, as this kind of this plastic smiley faced mask on this howling red sea of despair. Mm. I just really want to pull the mask off so that people can see what it's really like and just kind of pointing that out, that, you know, how much makeup and stuff goes into this shit. I don't mean makeup on real faces. I just mean, like, you know, in spin, in turning these horrendous things that Americans like sanctions. Now, that's what the whole article really hinges upon. Tillerson, that... Fucking
Tillerson again.
Yeah.
In Hillary's old job.
Yeah, right. It's just the most gut-wrenching thing, actually, to watch. Now, he's with Condoleezza Rice, which is another smiley establishment face as well.
Also Hillary, before he had the pre-Hillary.
Right, yeah. So there's just one after the other. And, like, and they're talking about North Korea, and he's saying that they've had some really good signs. What does he consider really good signs? He considers a really good sign that the sanctions are working is that there are dead North Korean fishermen washing up on the shores of Japan.
It's happened so often. They have a name for it. They're ghost ships. Just ships full of dead people.
Right.
Because they are starving in the winter and they can't grow their crops. So they go out to get some fish, and they can't afford enough fuel to ensure their safe return home. So they starve to death or dehydrate or something because they're probably just stranded out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or get sick or whatever. And then they eventually, their corpses wash up in their boats on the shores of Japan.
Now, those people are dead, right? They're as dead as if you freaking, like, shot them in the head or you put chemical weapons all over them or you that they are dead people. They have wives who are waiting for them at home with little hungry kids waiting for their husbands to turn up. Sorry, that makes me really upset. That's what's happening. And he thinks that's a fucking good sign. That is the macabre, disgusting, evil mind of this man who considers that to be a good sign of anything at all.
Yeah, if you have a soul, there's no positive way to spin that, is there?
There's not, none. And, you know, and she sat there and smiled along. And
yeah, of course, like, yeah, because sanctions are the peaceful, compassionate alternative to war.
Yeah, yes, but they're dead people regardless. Like, and they have families. And
bombing them is probably more painless.
Right, and they didn't sign up for war. Like, these are civilians.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the only... It's weird. He just talks about how he knows he's talking about civilians. This is the only kind of warfare where you can deliberately target civilians on purpose and kill them and be like, oh, yeah, she is working. That's good.
Yeah.
That's a good thing right there. That's happening.
And what's even worse, they will try and spin this, and you watch this. They will try and spin this as the leadership's problem of North Korea, that, oh, well, look, you know, that he's killing his own people by starving them.
Oh, you see that already. You see that routinely. You see that, oh, yeah, this, look at those starving North Koreans, all because fucking Kim Jong-un won't bow to US/UN demands.
Right. Yeah. And when you look at it, like, he's been trying to bow to those demands, but they've been... Anyway, but even regardless of that, you would never say that about any other act of warfare. You would never say, like, you know, if you went and bombed, like, Pyongyang, you wouldn't say, oh, well, Kim Jong-un bombed them.
Right. No, yeah, but.
But you can say we starved them.
We can say he starved them.
Yeah.
It's such a weird, gross, disgusting thing with this, like you said, this smiley face on it. You said this thing at the beginning of the article. I just want to read it aloud because it's so beautiful. I just want to, I'll just read it in full here. The most damaging people you will ever meet in your life are not those who are overtly hostile to you, the obviously malicious individuals who openly pursue your harm. The people you will look back on as having had the most pernicious impact upon your life are those you allowed in close, those who presented a friendly, trustworthy face and then used the intimacy that you naively gave them to insidiously sabotage who you are as a person. The exact same thing is true of U.S. politics.
Yeah. Thanks. But I thought that was important to point out.
Yeah, it's the same thing. You know, if there was anything like the equivalent of America's propaganda machine running commentary on America, do you have any idea what that would look like? They would have so much more material than the CNN people have to talk about ISIS, Al Qaeda. Or Kim Jong-un,
right,
or yeah. Any of the other scary boogeymen that they give you to be afraid of.
Yeah.
I sometimes like to imagine that. And they're their own people. They can't even drink the water.
Yeah.
They can't even, and they would just talk about that all the time, and you would see the consumers of mainstream media, did you know the people in America can't even drink their water?
Right. Well, yeah.
It's such a backwards
country, yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it is all about spin, really, and it's all about the stories you are told and the stories you tell yourself. And for many Americans, it's too painful to actually to try and ascertain what's really going on. You know, especially when you're living hand to mouth all the time.
Right.
It's very difficult to get a. You know, people don't have the luxury of finding out what's really going on when you're working 14 hours a day. Like, it's not And then to go home and have your mind full of worries about your own personal safety and your own personal, like, sustenance. It's
such a brilliant scheme they got going, isn't it?
It really, really is. Yeah, you can be the servitude of poverty, like, in and of itself is enough to keep us slaves.
And yeah, we're meant to feel like Big Brother is looking after us. We America spies on its own citizens, kills its own citizens in some cases with its militarized police force and starvation wages, and people just die of exposure out on the streets. And it's, they're just getting crushed and ground down harder and harder by the Walmart economy. And of course there's the war machine and the economic exploitation of neoliberalism happening all over the world. And we just slap this happy face via propaganda on it and make America look like the good guys, the protectors.
Mm-hmm. That's really all that you have to do. If people don't have enough kind of energy to look at it any other way. That's what, you know, because you know how fascinated I was with that case of the 13 children who were found and they were kind of in a it was like a family cult more than just an abusive situation. Their parents had them, you know, sleeping during the day and then up at night marching around and all this sort of stuff.
Like shackled to the bed.
Shackled to the bed, starving, etc. And the psychologists who were looking after them, looking after their recovery, were amazed that one of them had the strength to get out of there and to make a run for it and to dial 911 and go through with reporting them because of the starvation and of the fear that, you know, and it made me think about the American people. Like, you know, if you are literally just running for your life the whole time, then, like, it's a similar situation to be in.
That's an interesting – if someone said draw the state of America right now, you could draw that family.
Right.
That would be an interesting – No, you stay in the bed. I'll lock you up. Now go! Run!
And now we're going to Disneyland in matching suits. All right.
Everyone's crazy except us.
Yeah, it does seem like, to me anyway, like a minutiae of that cult-like thinking and the way that the people within it, you know, can be so depressed and have Stockholm syndrome as well to the point where they're like, you know, they're told that the outside world is so bad and mean, which is what Americans are told all the time, that, you know, that everyone's out to get them to get their freedom or whatever. Are they?
Sneak into your house. Those Muslims are going to sneak into your house and steal your freedom.
Yeah. They are. They, you know, to most Americans, the outside world appears to be a very hostile place. Mm. And because Americans don't tend to travel that much, because they can't, you know.
Can't afford to.
Can't afford to. When I was backpacking, like every other Australian, everyone, every other Brit, every other Western country, you know, when you're 17, 18, 19, you go for your gap year and you backpack around the world and see what the world is like. Very few Americans do that. And I commented on that to one American while I was traveling, and he was like, "You don't know the shit I had to go through to get out here and do this." He's like, everyone was saying, "Oh my God, don't do that. You'll ruin your career. You've got to go straight from, you know, school to college. There'll be no opportunities and stuff." And then the American he was traveling with chimed in and said, "Yeah, oh my God, you know, I was in the middle of, like, I was told that I'd wreck my life forever if I came out and I went, you know, wasted a year traveling and stuff like that." So all of these things wind in, you know, to a kind of an insular, inward-looking culture that is afraid of the outside world, but also doesn't seem to know how badly they've got it as well.
All right, so we're all caught up. We're caught up to your article that you wrote
today.
Oh, yeah.
So, which is called Some Thoughts on the Latest Chelsea Manning Drama.
Right.
So tell us about that.
Well, I waded in. I waded into the Chelsea Manning drama. So, so just to get everyone caught up, Chelsea Manning attended an event that Mike Cernovich put on in New York. And it was attended by a lot of MAGA people, a lot of alt-right people, including Cassandra Fairbanks, the burner turned Trumpster. And
you've been kind of chummy with her a little bit lately, huh?
I really like her. I really fucking like her.
She's like everyone, like all the lefty people are like, oh, she's a Nazi. She's an alt-right yeah. Nazi, and it's like she was the. She was the girl, I'm so sexist. She was the lady that,
Lady, I don't think there's any less sexist, darling. Oh. The woman.
Yeah. Sorry, everybody. What is it, find a fat guy?
You're doing so well, Dale. This is just great.
There's this fat guy who was being made fun of on 4chan a few years ago. This is like 2015.
Dancing man.
Find dancing man. Yeah. So these jerks on 4chan were making fun of this large, portly gentleman who was dancing on 4chan, and Cassandra Fairbanks said this is awful, and she had a lot of influence and following already back then, and she was like, let's all find this guy, help us find this guy, and we'll put a big party on for him. And she did.
Yeah, and I heard about it, like, and I loved it. I just loved it. I loved that they found him, and I loved that they like celebrated him, and it was done in the most beautiful way too. You'd think maybe, like, you know, it could be a bit yucky that they were kind of like also slightly making fun of. They were not. They were celebrating this guy, and the fact that he freaking danced. Like, and I love dance, and I love random acts of dancing. I'm all about the random act of dancing. And so when I saw that, like, actually, you know, online years ago, and I had no idea who she was or whatever, I just loved it. And I loved the two women who I had no idea who they were who put it on. I just thought, they are my people. Anyway, turns out that's her.
Yeah, and so you know, she's got a good heart, and then, yeah, there was
only a good heart, she's creative, and she's fun, and she's, like, you know, she's all the right things.
Except she's wrong about some things.
She's wrong about some things, but God damn it, like she's human.
Yeah.
Everyone's wrong about things. You know, even maybe I'm wrong about some things.
No.
Timothy, maybe.
No.
I'm just saying maybe.
Yeah. All right, so yeah, so they had an event, and Chelsea Manning had an appearance at that, and all the Hillary people, the Hillary Clinton people on Twitter freaked out about it, right?
Yes. Now, apparently, the Hillary Clinton people, or a Clinton insider anyway, who worked for Bill Clinton, had let everyone know that this was going on anyway.
Oh yeah, that's why they had the protests.
Yeah,
there was protests outside of this Cernovich thing because the Clinton person leaked it out to the public on purpose.
Right, and in fact, someone got, you said tapped, but I saw a bloodied mess on a gurney.
It's just a love tap.
Yeah, Mr. MMA. Anyway, it was a bit more than tapped to my reckoning. But, yeah.
So, yeah, he did not look good.
No, so there was a bit of a scuffle outside with the protesters when they were leaving the event. In any case, Chelsea Manning went along. She apparently quite warmly received, shook a lot of hands, and that was that. So.
But then there was like a.
But you're not allowed to do that, right?
Right. So you're just not allowed to do that. Everyone's freaking out. And
I'm not even allowed to let Mike Cernovich retweet my stuff. Like,
that makes you a Nazi.
That makes me a Nazi. A fascist, apparently.
Fascist.
It has got so crazy that yesterday I had a Twitter conversation with someone. Now, this is for real. This is for fucking real. This is for fucking real. This person was trying to tell me that I was plagiarizing lefty socialist writings to endear myself to fascists to sell those fascist poetry books. That's my whole devious plan.
And you included links.
Oh yeah,
that was so interesting to you. You included some hyperlinks to that very conversation. If anyone's curious,
look, I've had a lot of things said about me, but that definitely was the most stupid so far, isn't it? Surely that's as stupid as it gets. Right. Maybe, you know, we'll see though.
For the record, everybody speaking as Caitlin's husband and best friend and person who is very close to her in every way, Caitlin is not even a little bit a fascist. Caitlin does not like fascism. Caitlin does not like fascists, and she certainly does not plagiarize anyone's work ever. That just she does in fact write poetry, not fascist poetry though.
Yeah, also not plagiarized.
Also not plagiarized.
I don't think anyone buys the plagiarism thing, but I do routinely get called fascist.
All right, back on track. So everyone's freaking out that Manning went to this thing, and then a few hours later, Manning tweets, "I crashed this fascist white supremacist hate brigade party. All selfies were denied. Crash the fash #. Learned in prison that the best way to confront your enemies is face to face in their space." So Manning's saying that, yeah, I was at the event, but I crashed it. And then just scrolling through here. This is a very tweet-packed article, especially tweet-packed for your...
Oh my God, this means I plagiarize.
You plagiarize. You plagiarize those tweets. And of course, the MAGA people didn't like being called... fascist white supremacist hate brigade.
Yeah.
Then somebody leaked a photo where Manning had been attending another event with some high profile MAGA people last month.
Right.
So if you're that kind of kills the I showed up to crash their party narrative, doesn't it?
Yeah.
This shows a kind of a long term interaction, doesn't it?
Right. So, but I mean, I get it. I get why Chelsea went into defense mode and reframed what she was doing
there. Yeah, you have an interesting theory as to why that would have happened.
Yeah, I kind of just think that, you know, like under that sort of pressure, look, we all know what it's like to be shunned by our people. Yeah. And she's getting a lot of intense heat and stuff, so I think she kind of I think she's probably more woke than people realize. I think she probably does talk to people of the other side, you know, and interact with every humans of all people, you know, right across the spectrum, pretty much like a normal human. See, there's only actually only in Twitter does any of this make sense.
Only in Twitter does it make sense to go, oh, that person hung out with people who disagree with her ideologically, therefore she's a Nazi.
That must mean she's Nazi. Yeah, that only makes sense. I don't know who these people, like on Twitter, do they just run your life?
Do they live in just isolated rooms?
Do they have family? Like, do they, you know, what the hell do they do?
What is Thanksgiving? I can't come to Thanksgiving because you watch Fox News. Yes. I can't be seen with people who watch Fox News. I can't. My Twitter peeps would never allow that. Yeah. It would be World War III.
Yeah, right. So I think she's pretty much a human, and it's just and she's kind of like, she's just come out into the world again after a long time of social isolation, not just in jail, but actual isolation.
Right.
So I think when, you know, a friendly hand extends itself and says it will come to the party, like, you know.
Can you imagine being in jail and, you know, someone offers you an extra roll of toilet paper or some ramen noodles or something, and you're like, yeah, sure. Hey, wait a second. What is your belief system? What is your political ideology?
Tell me what you think about abortion.
I can't.
Oh, God. But it is that insane. Right. So, and that pretty much was the whole blow up, was that sort of insanity. And of course, Neera Tanden, my friend, was like right on it and stuff and said, oh, this is an interesting receipt.
Yeah, all of them were. And the actual leftists as it's interesting. Everyone's gotten together on this. Everyone has a thing about it. The centrists obviously have been insisting that Manning is a Russian plant for a long time.
Because she's far too progressive in her views.
Right. And the far right has been hating Manning because not only is she very vocally progressive, but very, very, very vocally leftist, but she's also
a whistleblower
and a trans woman
too.
So yeah. It's like, yeah, she's a triple threat.
Yeah, right.
There. But you know, they've kind of come out and been like, hey, why is everyone making a big deal out of this? And leftists have been, you know, they like Manning generally, but they're in the same kind of freak out. What are you doing with those people?
Yeah.
Sort of camp. It's a terrible mess. And yes. Yeah,
I really feel for her. Because pretty much there's really, like, everyone's mad at her.
And just right after she announced her candidacy for the Senate.
Yeah.
Now you have this whole, like, you lied about Nazis. You're a Nazi liar.
Mm.
Thing. And it's most likely it's just the fact that real life doesn't actually fit in with that ridiculous linear
binary. Yeah, red and blue thinking. Well, not even, like... This tribalized
one or zero.
Yeah, where you can't actually have like friends who.
Yeah, it's
get along despite their differences. This is so poisonous, really. Like the more we're actually talking about this, because when I read the article, I was kind of in that Twitter thing, and I was kind of talking to all those weird things. But how insane is it that this is even an issue? Like,
right.
I mean, we don't freak out when,
when sports players play on the same team despite different ideologies.
Right. Or
like that guy voted for Trump. You can't play with him. Can you imagine centrist Twitter or whichever, just running months long campaigns against like every athlete that was playing with someone who disagreed with them? it's insane. It's yes, people disagree, and also they hang out with people with whom they disagree on some issues. That's normal. That's what being a human is.
And also, like, it's what being a healthy human is, I think, too.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's unhealthy to ferret yourself away with the only people who think like you think. That's quite neurotic. Like,
yeah, if you can't
be around people who, you know, have differing views, then who are you? What are you? What sort of animal are you?
Like, yeah, and, you know, lefties are so bizarrely rigid in their thinking. Like, if they only hung out with people who agreed with them, you would have like one person you can talk to.
yeah in your state, like, you know, yeah that's the weird thing. So they must be like, you know, they must have normal lives where they go to work with other people who think differently to them. Like, no one can live your life like that.
I guess. Yeah, they must. Or I don't know, maybe they either that, or they just don't ever leave the home.
Or they work for a, like, Counterpunch. But that would be the other way to do it.
Fuck like, Counterpunch, by the way.
Yeah, but if, like, you're if your whole working environment was people of the same political ideology as you, and then, you know, and then you excise most of your family, then you could probably keep it to that and then feel very puritanical and...
Yeah, the Counterpunch is always fighting with themselves. Like, always, like,
yeah, that's true.
Editorial and the tech editorial, and then back and forth and back and forth, and who cares?
It's the religion of me, isn't it? Like, it's like And people have become so bizarre about their own views that they can't actually.
Well, that's. I think that's what. Here's a theory. So I think they get along, see, because they click. You know, the internet allows you to find people who fit into your bizarre ticked boxes.
That's true.
Yeah, you can find them. So it gives you this ability to network. So you find all these people, see, and then events start happening. And the world starts changing, and everyone needs to be on the same page about what's happening, or it's you have to kill everyone who doesn't agree with you perfectly on everything. So what they get is these alphas, right?
Yeah.
You see it. Everyone can name all the alphas in their clique.
Yeah.
On Twitter, you know who they are. You know how many followers they have, and there's these alphas, and they all decide. All right, we're going this way on this issue. We all agree, right? And then everyone falls into line. If they don't fall into line, they just get smashed and smashed and smashed until they either fall in back into line or get exiled.
Right.
And you were exiled by a lot of them. Like,
oh, I didn't even know I was in their groups until I was outed.
Right, right.
I was shunned from clubs I didn't even know I was in.
Now you can't be in our club, sorry. Fine. No, but you can't, though. You can't be.
I don't even know who you are. But, you know, yeah, they're vitriol and stuff like that. And that is a leadership by fear. And that's, I think that what people, it would be good for people to realize is that those alphas dominate by fear and fear of shunning. So, like, people tend to not flock to them. They're not attracted to them. They find themselves in this kind of gridlock with them.
You're pummeled by them.
Yeah, because if you think, yeah, I actually don't agree with that, I think that this might be the right way to go. Nope, sorry.
Veto.
Yeah, veto. And that's then, the thing. And then you're
veto,
out.
There's veto power.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to think that.
Yeah, so it's not a natural collaboration of people who, you know, think one way on one idea, and then they can work on that issue on an issue by issue basis.
Nice.
This is like
who's loudest and most aggressive and most entitled with their opinion,
right? And they form, like, I guess, little kind of mini cults,
yeah,
but cult of personalities or whatever. So, yeah, it's just better not to. And you see that kind of tend and befriend thing happen too with those. Really nasty ones, like,
yeah.
The people who get caught up with them are more likely to, you know, there are people who just run away from those sort of people or people who fight them, but there is a tendency for especially women to go towards a threat and try and friend it and thus ameliorate it. But what happens then is that you're friends with a threat and, you know, you can't move then, like, because they, you know, if they are dangerous and you decide you want to slip away, they won't let you, like, you know, and they're going to out you to the rest of the crew and defame you and ruin your reputation and do whatever it takes. So the whole tending and friending thing. Bad idea amongst lefty circles. Just a little tip to the ladies, especially.
Let's never talk about social media again.
Okay.
Let's forget all about it. Let's eat some ice cream.
Okay.
I really love you.
I really love you too.
All right. So if you guys wanna support Caitlin, you can sign up to support her on Patreon, become a regular patron. You can toss her some money on PayPal. Caitlin is, by the way, a totally reader-supported journalist. So you can support her in those ways, or you can buy her book Woke, A Field Guide for Utopia Preppers, which is a really great book, a real nice poems and illustrations. Follow Caitlin on Twitter and on Facebook in order to stay on in touch with all her comings and goings. You have been listening to Going Rogue.
Keep fighting.
Thanks, y'all.